Hello again. You're listening to the news at one. Some Russian army units are pulling out of Ukraine after suffering heavy losses, according to reports from British military intelligence today. Russia has said it will refocus its war, but Ukrainian officials are sceptical of a full pullback from the capital, Kyiv. Both sides have played down hopes of a breakthrough following talks in Istanbul in Turkey yesterday. We've been speaking to Shawshank Joshi, defence editor with The Economist. I began by asking him what he thought the Russian objective now is.
I think the Russian objective was initially to take Kyiv, the capital, and to conduct regime change in Ukraine. And to that end, there was a substantial military effort on the capital from two sides, from the northwest and the northeast, and it effectively failed over a month. It was bogged down. So I think the Russian war aims now are what they probably say they are, which is to focus on what they call liberating the Donbass, Donbass being this eastern province of Ukraine. Russia invaded the Donbass in 2014, of course, and it established these two people's republics, these so-called people's republics, the Donetsk and Luhansk people's republics, and it recognized those as independent states on February 21st, just before this war began. That was about a third of the Donbass that those proxy forces held. Russia has since taken more of the Donbass, and of course, it is also about to take Mariupol, the port city that is surrounded and besieged. That's also part of Donbass. What its intentions are, what it wants to do with all that territory is less clear to me, but if it hopes to hang on to it as part of a settlement, I think it will be disappointed.
Because the price for ending the invasion, ending the war then for Ukraine would be to accept the partition of Ukraine, in effect rewarding the Russians for their aggressive action and for the terrible destruction and the humanitarian disaster that they have visited upon Ukraine.
I think we will need to distinguish between Ukrainian territory that was taken in 2014, which includes Crimea, the Crimean Peninsula that was annexed to Russia, but no one else recognizes that, and also those parts of the Donbass I mentioned, the one-third of the Donbass captured by Russian proxies. And Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, could possibly conceive of a deal, perhaps he could sell a deal, that would see those territories go from Ukraine, if not formally, then perhaps under some other model of joint supervision or something like that. That's different, I think, to recognizing any territorial gains that Russia has made in the course of this conflict since February 24th. That would be a much harder sell for the Ukrainians or for anyone, really. So it's not to say that we won't see some sort of partition of Ukraine. In a way, you could argue we have already seen a partition of Ukraine since 2014. The question really is Russia going to be allowed to hang on to territory from this war? I think the West doesn't want that. I don't think Ukraine wants that either. I think it would be a very, very tough sell.
And Shawshank, do you rule out any suggestion that the Russians will try and regroup renew their assault?
It's possible because although we are seeing some units leave from the Kyiv region to recuperate and reconstitute themselves in Belarus and in Russia, others are digging in. You know, this is not a full-scale withdrawal. Some are leaving, but they've been leaving for weeks. It's not a new thing. And they've probably been leaving because they've taken severe losses and they need to resupply themselves. They need to rest and all of those things that armies do need to do in the field from time to time. We're not seeing, you know, a large-scale withdrawal over the border. Indeed, as I said, some are digging in, taking entrenched positions, suggesting that they still want to pin down some of those Ukrainian forces around the capital in order to avoid Ukraine simply moving its forces east to reinforce Donbass. You know, you still want to pin those Ukrainians down. And over the longer term, you know, that does mean Russia, if it found the manpower, could eventually conduct another attempted assault on the capital. But it would need to fix all the problems it faced in the last month: logistics, morale, supplies, maintenance of equipment, leadership, tactical problems, and running out of manpower as well. It would have to fix all of those things if it were to do that.
And just a final question about the capacity of Ukrainian forces to continue to resist this, or perhaps to, in some areas, to go on the offensive. How much does all that depend on a steady, reliable, and significant supply of military aid from the West?
I think it does depend quite a lot on Ukraine being resupplied. The fact of the matter is we don't know very much about Ukraine's losses, its casualties, its equipment losses, its state of its forces. We know they have high morale. We know they've been counterattacking in local areas quite successfully. And we know that they you know, have a lot of confidence and will to fight. But we don't know really how strong they are. And really, I think Ukraine absolutely needs a continued supply of anti-tank missiles, anti-aircraft missiles. And we also don't know how many tanks it's lost. You know, that's much harder to get because NATO is more wary of providing that sort of high-end equipment. So all in all, yes, I think the resupply of Ukraine is vital. But the West is generally committed to doing that. It's generally, you know, I think the Americans and Europeans are giving Ukraine quite astonishing amounts of hardware and kit. But there is still a question as to how long that can go on, given that we are at some point going to be eating quite far into our own stocks in the West as well.
And that was Shawshank Joshi, defence editor of The Economist.